The Alan Watts iPhone app is now available on the iTunes App Store, featuring the entire Alan Watts podcast series at your fingertips. Visit alanwattsapp.com for more information.
I want to start by giving what may be to many of you a new definition of the word myth. As normally used, the word myth means an idle tale, a fable, a falsehood, or an idea that's out of date, something untrue. But there is another, older, and stricter use of the word myth, whereby it doesn't mean something untrue, but it means an image in terms of which people make sense of life and of the world. Supposing, for example, you don't understand the technicalities of electricity, and somebody wants to explain them to you. He wants to explain about the flow of currents. Well, to do that, he compares electricity with water. And because you understand water, you get some idea about the behavior of electricity. Or if an astronomer wants to explain to you what he means by expanding space, he'll use the metaphor of a balloon, a black balloon with white spots on it. The white spots represent the galaxies. And then if you blow up the balloon, they all get further away from each other at the same speed as the balloon blows up. In neither case are we saying that electricity is water or that the universe is a balloon with white spots on it. We are saying it's something like it. And so in the same way, the human being has always used images to represent his deepest ideas of how the universe works and what man's place in it is. And tonight I'm going to discuss certain aspects of two of the greatest myths in this sense of the word which have influenced mankind's thinking. First of all, the myth of the universe as an artifact, as something made, as a carpenter makes tables, chairs, and houses, or as a potter makes pots, or as a sculptor makes figurines. And on the other hand, the image of the world as a drama in which all the things in the world are not made but acted in the same way as a player acts parts. For these are the two great images which govern respectively the religions of the West descending from Hebraism, that is to say, Hebraism itself, Christianity and Islam, and on the other hand, the myth which governs those religions which have had their origin in India, most particularly Hinduism itself and to a lesser extent Buddhism. And I want to make it perfectly plain before I go any further that in talking about these two great religious traditions in terms of images, I am talking about the way they express themselves at a rather popular level. Sophisticated Christians and sophisticated Hindus think beyond images. For example, a Christian may think of God as the Father, but a sophisticated and educated Christian does not imagine that God is a cosmic male parent with a white beard sitting on a golden throne above the stars. Nor does a Hindu imagine literally that God is the super showman, the big actor. These images are what it is like, not what it is. And perhaps when I get through with discussing them, we'll be able to ask the question as to whether any of these images still make sense to us in this 20th century when we have a view of the world so powerfully shaped by Western science. Now let me begin then with a few things about the image of the world and thus the image of man as it comes to us from the Hebrew Bible. It's said in the book of Genesis that the Lord God created man out of the dust of the earth, as if he had made of Adam a clay figurine. And then he blew the breath of life into its nostrils, and the figurine became alive. And it said that the figurine was made in the image of God. For God, who is conceived in this particular image as personal, as a living, intelligent spirit, creates in man something like that. But you must note very definitely that this is a creation, as the potter makes a pot out of clay. For the creature that the Lord God has made is not God. The creature is something less than God, something like God, but not God. And you will see some very interesting consequences follow from this idea of the world as an artifact. What follows from it is that the whole universe is seen as a marvelous technical accomplishment. And if it is made, there must be an explanation of how it is made. And the whole history of Western thought has in many ways been an attempt to discover how the Creator did it. What were the principles? What were the laws laid down? What, in other words, was the blueprint that underlies this creation? And this image has therefore persisted throughout Western history and continues on into a time when very many people do not believe in Christianity or Judaism or Islam. They are, you might say, agnostics or atheists, but they still carry on something of this idea of the world as an artifact. If you are a Christian or a Jew, you believe that the world is the artifact, the creation, of the intelligent spirit called God. But if in this culture you are an atheist or an agnostic, you believe that the world is an automatic machine without a creator, something which made itself. We might say then that our original model of the universe was the ceramic model. And the Bible is full of references to God as the potter who makes the world out of obedient clay. But when Western thinkers in the 18th century began to drop the idea of a personal God, they kept the idea of the artifact. And so we could say that after the ceramic model of the universe, we got the fully automatic model. And still, you see, underlying our way of thinking about things is the question, how are they put together? And if you want to find out, one of the obvious ways to proceed is to take them to pieces. Everybody knows that if you want to find out how something is made, you unscrew the parts and see what the secret is inside the box. And so Western science, in its beginnings, took everything apart. It took animals apart. It took flowers apart. It took rocks apart. And then when they got it reduced to its tiniest pieces, they tried to find methods of taking those apart too, so that we could eventually discover what the very smallest small things were, and so know what building blocks the Creator or the fully automatic model used in order to put it all together, hoping that that would lead us to an understanding of how life works. Man himself, in all this, was looked upon as a creation, something made. Only, there were some difficulties about this, because if you believe in the world in accordance with the idea of the fully automatic model, you've really got to admit that man, too, is fully automatic. In other words, he's a machine rather than a person. Man is something, in other words, that says, doffs its hat to you and says, how do you do? I'm a person, I'm alive, I'm sensible, I talk, I have feelings. But you wonder, do you really? Or are you just an automaton? Am I real, or am I just an automaton? The general result of the Western image of man hasn't been quite that. What it's come down to under the dispensation of the fully automatic model is this. We are living beings, we're very sensitive, and inside the human skin, by an extraordinary fluke of nature, there has arisen something called reason. And there have also arisen values, such as love. But this was a fluke, because it happened inside a fully automatic universe, which is stupid, because it's merely automatic. You won't, in other words, find anything really intelligent outside human skins. And therefore, if that is so, the only thing that people can do, if they want to maintain reason and love in this universe, is to fight nature and beat the stupid external world into submission to the human will. And so the war against nature is the great project thus far of Western technology. Because you see, each one of us, because we have inherit from thousands of years of history a view of man as something made and almost of a sort of breath breathed into a pot of clay or an image of clay, a kind of, each one feels himself as a globule of consciousness or mind living inside a vehicle called my body. And since the world outside that body is stupid, we feel estranged from the world. When we find out how enormous the universe is, that makes us as individuals feel extremely unimportant and rather lonely. Because you see, we consider ourselves, our basic image of ourselves, is of a soul or an ego or a mind, all by itself in its little house, looking out at a world that is strange and that is not me. I am therefore a brief interval of consciousness between the darkness and the darkness. And that isn't too happy. I would like to be able to believe that it was more than that. If I could, so many of us say, if I could only still believe that there is an intelligent and eternal God in whose eyes I am important and who has the power to enable me to live forever, that would be very nice. But for many people, that's an extraordinarily difficult thing to believe. Now I want to contrast this image of the world with another, what I call the dramatic image as distinct from the image of the potter or the ceramic image.
You've been listening to Alan Watts from the Spoken Word Library of the Electronic University. For copies of this and other Alan Watts programs, please go to alanwatts.com on the World Wide Web or call us toll-free at 1-800-WO-WATTS. That's alanwatts.com or 1-800-WO-WATTS. The Watts website features free audio downloads, program lists, and information on Watts' life and works. Once again, that's alanwatts.com or 1-800-WO-WATTS.